Why don't you turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah 54. Let me minister here for a few moments and then do a little modeling thing for you of what we talk about. I am, preachers can say this all the time, and I hope I don't overuse the phrase, but I believe that what I'm about to talk about is one of the most important things I've ever talked about and will ever talk about, and I think it's the primary subject we should all be talking about. And it's so basic, but it's essential to why we exist personally, why we think the church exists, and what we should be about. So I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit would help and make impact with simple, simple words. Father, bless and anoint and let these words go straight to our hearts. We pray that you would ignite and engage a community of disciples that make disciples. We pray that, Lord, you deliver us from any soulish activity of just trying to increase numbers or do gimmicks. We're asking that we would see clearly King Jesus before us and that we would respond the way that you determine. Lord, we want to produce and be what you've called us to produce and be. So, Lord, we give our hearts to you afresh this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew 28:19, what we're going to talk about is a discipleship revolution or a grass fire multiplication of disciples. And we are very gripped with this. This is not something new to us. It's just been revived among us. We spend a lot of time equipping here. We love fellowship. We love prayer. But we're about to get intentional and kick into gear more intentionally than we ever have with what the Lord has really called us to do. And I know there's going to be a cost for this, both in the spirit realm and the natural realm, but we want to give ourselves wholeheartedly to this. The Lord, when Amy and I were together on our retreat a week ago, He gave us Isaiah 54, 1 through 3. Let me read this for you. Sing, O barren one, who did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your stakes. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. Amy and I were talking about being disciples together. We went away for 2 days and prayed and recalibrated our life. We've had an intense first of the year with the death of my dad and with the marriage of a couple of our boys and some trial in ministry and just life, you know, pregnancy, and here comes another baby. And we just wanted to get away, and we didn't really get to celebrate our 22nd anniversary because it was in the middle of wedding madness. And so we took some time after that was all over. We went to Ottawa. We sat on a hot farm in an upstairs apartment. The only thing you can do in this place is walk, and it was too hot to walk. So we were locked in, and we just began to progressively do relationship inventory. We started with our own personal lives in Jesus. Then we talked about relational issues with each other. I mean, phase by phase. We take an hour, we talk about it, we pray about it. Phase two. Then we talk about relationally, how we were. And Amy got me straightened out on a few more things that I needed straightened out on. And then we went to our children and child raising and vision for our kids and trouble and trial and prayer. We prayed over our children and we labored. Phase three, and then phase four, we began to lock in on what the Lord had called us for this next leg of the ministry, where we're to go. We had a beautiful time. Just a wonderful time working through some stuff, praying through some stuff, and just having a McVeigh summit, you know, of what are we called to? Are we on mission? Are we called? Is our heart clean with our God, with one another, with our children, and in the ministry? In the middle of that, the Lord gave us Isaiah 54. He spoke to us specifically about, we were talking about this issue of discipleship, being disciples and making disciples, and the central call that we have in ministry to do this. We, more than coming and doing what I'm doing now, we love Sunday, love to equip, love what we can do here, but I've always said it's the weakest thing I do in ministry. And by that, I don't mean it's not important. I mean there's a whole lot of stuff we are able to do relationally and face-to-face that's so powerful. Here, we've got a big crowd, and we're doing what we do, and we value it, we love it, we think it's one piece of a big puzzle of the things we do. But at the core, what we primarily feel called to do is be disciples and to make disciples that make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. We feel the mandate of King Jesus In Matthew 28, verse 19, he says, for us to go, therefore, and disciple all nations. What a mandate. All authority in heaven and earth. I'm just so gripped by that sentence. The God-man said, all authority in heaven and earth, and that's he couldn't have said that pre the resurrection, pre him having the body of Adam on him. Now he stands as the ultimate prototype, the new man, and he says this phrase, I've got all the authority now. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it goes on to say, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And we've been gripped by this, and as we talked, the Lord began to give us a promise. It was a passage we'd known before. This has got a bit of a prophetic flair to it. But it said, sing, O barren one, you who did not bear. And we felt to a certain degree, we've loved it, that we've grown. I guess there's a quote here, 80% of all church plants don't succeed. And we feel blessed, and the Lord's blessed us in so many ways through the last 20 years. It's been fun to start works and to be part of them. But we, in a certain sense, we feel a certain sense of barrenness too, because we want to produce what Jesus told us to produce. He didn't tell me or mandate me to produce crowds. He called us to produce disciples. Disciples that have the government of Jesus in them, and they are wholehearted followers going after Christ. We've got a definition here of discipleship, which is a disciple is a spirit-transformed, wholehearted follower of Jesus Christ that multiplies. And we felt from this passage that the Lord was giving us a promise, that there was about to be an end to the barrenness, that we were to sing by faith because there was about to be an exponential increase if we would do things the way that He's called us. In fact, verse 2, enlarge your tent, stretch your cords, get ready, here it goes. And number 3 is that your people, your disciples, would possess nations. They're going to go forward, they're going to people cities and fill them. Meetings will not change the planet. What changes the planet are real, dynamic, vibrant, spirit-filled disciples. So, with this definition again, which I've given you for the last 2 weeks, and this week we intentionally say it to you again, I want to break down this thing. A disciple, which is the word metaneo in the Greek, that word literally just means a follower. Okay, so a disciple is, there's discipleship of all religion in all religions and many trades, but they are spirit transformed. They've been spirit born again, they've been spirit filled. They're Holy Spirit birthed people who are wholehearted, not half-hearted. Not perfect, but wholehearted. They say, they're not saying, they're going, yeah, I'm kind of for Jesus, I'm kind of for the world. Yeah, I'm in for Him, but I'm a little embarrassed about Him. They're wholehearted, I'm in. They have dropped their nets. They have stepped up from their tax collector's booth and said, I'm following. All right? What we're looking is for wholehearted followers. Not perfect people, but people that say, I'm in. I'm going after Christ. And lastly, they are people who multiply. And I need to talk about that with you, because that's what we want to produce this right here. I wrote a thing to the staff, and I'm going to give you this, and we don't have all the verses, but I'm just going to pop through it. The DNA, or the genetic code of a disciple, and this is a work in progress. I've shifted it since I sent this to the staff. But a DNA, or genetic code of a disciple, we need to know what that is. And again, it's not just an attender. It's not just someone who's converted. This is what we see from the Gospels, what Jesus said a disciple is. And that's what He's called every believer to be, is a full, wholehearted disciple who reproduces. Number one, they are 100% Jesus-focused. They're Jesus people. They're not Christianity-focused. They're not, you know, Republican-focused. They're not. They're full-out Jesus people. We disciple people unto Jesus, not unto church, not unto Christianity. They are 100% that. They repent toward Jesus. They change their mind and turn toward Him. They're born again in Jesus. They have faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Their whole life is there. They're baptized by Jesus in the Holy Spirit, and then baptized in water as a public confession to that. And they are growing in 100% obedience to Jesus Christ. A disciple, number one, is this. It's not a church attender. I know I'm saying that over and over. I just so want you to get that. They are people who have seen, heard, and seen the revelation of Jesus Christ and said yes. They've repented and turned toward Him. They've received Him. They're being baptized by Him. They're obeying, and they're coming after Him, and He is everything to them. 100% Jesus-focused. Number two, they are fruit bearers through the Spirit-led, through Spirit-led character, works, discipline, speaking, and confession. Disciples are, John 15, verse 8 says, "This is why I appointed you. I appointed you to bear fruit, to be my disciples, and I want you to be fruit bearers." And we talk about this in Sunday school all the time, but human beings are manifestors. We are the grand manifestors on planet Earth. We're the ones that have a foot in the spirit realm and a foot in the natural realm, and we mediate reality. That's what I believe. Believers source from Jesus and the Holy Spirit and release it. Unbelievers, even atheists, who say they don't believe in the spirit realm, they're manifestors, and they're manifesting from a different realm. They're manifesting from the flesh and what I believe is the kingdom of darkness and the spirit that now works in the disobedient. You all and we all are called to be fruit bearers, to manifest that in character, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, in manifesting works like what Mark and Zaren are doing. They're disciples who are manifesting a work unto marriages, all right? Everybody's called to the ministry. And we're to manifest that in discipline, the Holy Spirit's work in our lives, in the speaking of our mouths, and in this issue we've been talking about last week, in confession of sin, in deep-rooted relationship one with another. Deep confession of sin, not only to our God, but to one another as we experience healing. Number three, disciples make disciples that make disciples. They reproduce after their own kind. And I heard a guy say this, "You're not making a disciple if your disciple doesn't reproduce and make another disciple." Now listen, this is a sledgehammer strike against the clergy-laity system and the tractional meeting model system that most of the church operates under. Where this, we have professionals who draw people, or we go get people and bring them to the professionals who then will disciple them and will teach them and encourage them. That's not what your Bible says. And I'm going to come down later, I'm going to talk about that. The Bible says everybody can be a disciple and everybody can make a disciple. A disciple is not a disciple. You're not a disciple unless you're 100% Jesus-focused, you're a fruit bearer, listen, and you are in the process of reproducing. You're in the process of making another one like you. Listen to this, everybody. I don't think everybody's called to do what I'm doing right now. I feel a special call to be an equipper to the body of Christ full-time. There's funds provided by the Lord through His people so that I can give myself, Spencer can give himself. That's kind of in some ways a special call, if you will. But what's not a special call is disciple making. Everybody's called to that process. It's just like everybody's called to be a dad. Every guy parents different. I parent different than Brock does, than Sean Humick does, than Doug Adams does. We all have different personalities, but we all parent. We're daddies. Everybody's called to be a daddy. Everybody's called to be a mommy. All right? And they can do that. Not everybody's called to speak in front of big groups and lead missions or various things, okay? But everybody's called to parenting, and that's what this basically is. We're called to reproduce. Number four, simply, we are going on mission in life. And again, I love the phrase from Michelle. I got to say it again, Pennington. Whether it's across the aisle, it's across the street, or it's across the ocean, a disciple is always going forth in mission everywhere they are. They're laying out and they're spreading that mission wherever they are. Number five, a disciple, listen to this one, a disciple prays for, proclaims, and demonstrates the kingdom of God or the rule of God. Disciples do more than, again, just come and watch other people do it. They are kingdom people who express that kingdom. They're praying, "Let thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Bring your rule. Bring your rule." They proclaim. They tell people they see, "Jesus is the King." Now, I don't know how you say that. You can say it in a thousand different ways. But they're proclaiming the kingdom of God and they're demonstrating the kingdom. Feeding the poor, healing the sick, casting out demons, doing the stuff that Jesus, the 12, and the 72, and the deacons, and all of them did in the book of Acts. Disciples are kingdom expressors. They're from somewhere else and they express the kingdom and the rule of God in multiple ways. Five comments I want to make to you, and I'll make them quickly. Thoughts, and then we'll do something here. Number one, there is a difference between being salt and light and making a disciple. Everybody watch. There's a difference between you inspiring and impacting people,
been sharing this with a lot of people. Is there a difference between you and, boy, be this. I love it. It's good that you inspire and you impact people, that you have little moments where you bless people. You can do that all your life and not make a disciple. Making a disciple is a wholehearted, whole long process that involves teaching someone to obey. I want to inspire people. I hope I'm inspiring you to a certain degree this morning. I hope I inspire people through the week as I go into McDonald's or I go wherever, that I inspire. But that doesn't mean that I'm obeying the commission to make disciples. I want to be salt and light, but I want to make disciples according to what He has called me to do, which is producing what we just laid out. Number two, the meeting-based strategy or attractional model that we've used for years will not produce what Jesus called us to produce. This doesn't necessarily produce obedient, wholehearted disciples. You can come here, we all know it, listen, watch this. You can come here and still be living in radical sin. You can go to house churches. I've watched it. My heart has been broken, and I've dealt with leaders who've watched, and they have Spirit-filled people. I'm not being, but I'm saying, they're going after, and then they're killing each other at home, in arguing and fighting at home. They're struggling with sensuality and with immorality. You can come to meetings and still hide, is my point. These meetings won't do it. These meetings can be powerful for us to have equipping and do various things, but you could go to multiple meetings, and you all know it. You all know it. There's a certain amount of anonymity that's here this morning. That's not when somebody's in your face fathering you and discipling you, or someone's a mother in the faith is mothering you, and they teach you how to confess your sins. I mean, we're not going to have many people this morning stand up and confess their darkest secrets. This is not the place for that. We don't want to invite you to do that. Don't do that. You need to do it in a safe place. But listen, we've got guys in ministry, tragic stories, guys leading revivals, churches, and ministries. They're preaching and doing the whole deal, and in the back rooms, they got some bad stuff going on. Then it hits the press, it hits the crowd, it hits the testimony. What I believe is that those guys are not disciples. Not that they're not struggling. You can struggle and be a disciple, but they're not in a strong accountability and in a place where they're confessing their sins. This will not produce what Jesus told us to produce. Number three, we can only get what Jesus produced by doing it the way He did it, which is, listen to this phrase, consistent, Holy Spirit, deep, relational encounters with one another. All right? I can get you full and have experiences, manifestations in the Spirit. I can get you to memorize 1,000 Bible verses. But until you do this, I know people filled with Word and filled with gifting that have such serious character problems. Some guy told me, I can't remember who it was, they know a guy that can heal the sick. He lays hands on the sick and they get well. And he has got such serious character problems of morality, it's not even funny. And the reason is because he's not been wholly formed in obedience, in trusting the Lord and being informed in His character. We need to be disciples. We believe, number four, as a team, as New Life, that being a disciple and making disciples is a call to every believer. We believe it's everyone's call. Everyone's called to do this, not just Sam, not just Spencer, not through Jonathan. Everyone's called to be a disciple and to make a disciple. Number five, this is a Spirit-empowered, intentional process. Disciples do not happen by accident. I wish that they happened by accident, by osmosis. It's kind of like me raising my sons and just having them in my house. I go to work, I give them food, and by the way, this is sad because a lot of parenting goes this way. They get in trouble and they get grounded a few times, but they walk through their life forming as young men in their character, in their sexuality through puberty, in their development with relationships with people, and I never set them down and help develop them and train them and teach them how I did it, good, bad, and ugly. It's almost like I just have kids in my house. We see each other, we eat a little bit together, we do the thing, we walk by each other. I'm just hoping by osmosis that they're going to learn. That's not going to work. We've got to be intentional in child rearing. We've got to be in with our kids and talk them through all the stages of the developments that go on, because we're called, obviously, to disciple our children. This is not an accidental osmosis kind of deal. It's not just going to happen because people are around Christian stuff. Now listen. Our heart, and we're going to keep doing what we do. We're going to keep pouring it in. But listen, I'm taking it more soberly than I ever have. We're a failure. New Life's a failure.
we don't make disciples. If we don't make disciples that can do more than just have Bible studies and can do more than just go to meetings, we want to produce disciples that are wholehearted followers of Jesus, that are trained. Chad Langhofer, come down here, please. I want you to watch what I mean. There's no way I can do it in 5 minutes, but I want to put a visual in your brain. All right? Chad. Come here. Chad, can you sit down right over there, please? Chad, can you come here, please? What I have here is the Word of God. It's living. It's vibrant. Here you go. It's good. It's a good book. Here's how I read it. I read it, and yeah, I find out what's going on around there, but I try to have a heart interaction with the Scriptures. Chad, here's how when I pray and I wait on the Lord and I listen to the Holy Spirit. Chad, you got to be filled with the Spirit. You got to know the Lord. Okay. What I'm doing is fast forwarding here. Chad, what you got to do is you got to learn how to confess your sins to me. All right, buddy. You got to learn how from your heart. You're not perfect. I'm not either. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to get freedom when you learn how to be vulnerable and to talk with me. Amen?
Amen.
Chad has said yes to this with me. Chad, Terry Bell's a good guy, great guy. He's really under some stress right now. Terry, I'm making this up, by the way. And he needs us to come pray for him. Would you come with me? Come with me, Chad. Here we go. What I do is I'm going to lay my hands on him just gently, and I'm going to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, bless Terry. And I pray you fill him and da-da-da-da-da, rescue him. Chad, you see what I'm doing here? You see what I'm doing here? You can do this. Chad can do this. Chad, over here, Windsor's just struggling a little bit, you know what I mean? And we need to get them some food, and we need to get some stuff. So here, let's hand them the bread. Here you go. Everybody with me? Chad's with me. I've called him to me, and he's doing it with me. Chad, you need to make another disciple. You're called to make a disciple. You'll find joy in making a disciple. Let's go get a disciple. You see a guy back there you want to go get? I'm going to help you go do that. You go get a disciple. I'm coming with you. Doug. I'm going with Chad. Uh-oh, am I going to screech? Here go, Chad and I. See us? Here we go. I'm not telling Chad to go do something that I won't do with him. Chad, I'm going to help you. Here we go. Hey. Chad, you feel led toward him? But extend your hand and see if he'll come with you. Come with us, Doug. So here we walk. Now I'm gone. What did we just do? Everybody, you see what we just did? Now, Chad, I want you to do what I just did with you, with him. Start doing that. And when you get done, take him through and go get somebody else. I need Danny. Is Danny Block in the room? Danny's not in the room. Come here, Danny. Quickly. Danny, Jesus is the way. He's awesome. Repent. Be born again. Be filled with the Spirit. Are you in with Jesus?
Absolutely.
Danny, in with Jesus. And he's spitting in my mic. Danny, I want to teach you how to read the Word. I want to pray. I'm actually going to do it with you. I'm not going to just tell you to do it. I want you to watch me do it. I want you to be with me as I do it. And then, oh yeah, Terry Bell's in trouble again. Here we go, Terry. When I lay my hand on him, I do this. Can you do that? Father, in the name of Jesus, da-da-da-da-da. Okay, let's go. Let's go and feed the poor. Oh, here they go. Boom. See how I did that? Great. Now, Danny, let's go find a disciple. You're going to do a disciple now, and I'm going to go with you when you do that. I don't know where Danny's going. I'm with Danny. I'm talking to Danny. Danny's not going to miss out. I'm not going to screech on the mic. Here we go. I know I've only got 2 minutes of legal church. Just keep watching. Really? Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. You buy that, Aaron?
Yeah.
You in?
Yeah.
Just extend your hand and see if he'll come with you. Aaron, come with us, please. Ah! I'm sorry. I'm just excited about what's about to happen. Need to do it down here. And here we go. Do with him what I just did with you, all right? You do with him, and then you help him go get somebody. Now, we're going to do this over and over and over. This process is no longer a new life motivated deal. Does everybody see it? Look what's happening here. Look what's happening here. I'm now spending all my week deeply having a relationship. Now, I can't show it to you in 5 minutes. I'm confessing my sin. They're confessing their sin to me. I'm teaching them how to be vulnerable. I'm teaching them how to fight lust, how to fight pride, because I've been in that battle. And I've won, and I've lost. And so I tell them that, but I train them. I've learned how to hear the Holy Spirit in 20, 30 years, and here I am. And I've learned, and here I go, and here I'm blessed, okay? And I train, and I train, and I take them with me, and then I move them, and then I inspire them to go do it again. And it happens till it consumes the room and the cities and the nations that we're in. If you just saw what we just did, would you say amen? Youth, listen to me. Go to the meetings. Come to this meeting, but learn what we just did. We're going to teach you how to do it. It's time that we get intentional one-on-one and we start making disciples. The women, it's starting among them now. They're going to do the same thing. They're going to be making disciples, then make disciples, then make disciples, then make disciples. May the Lord give us grace to do this. Some of you are, I know, going to struggle with confidence. You're like, how could I do this? Praise the Lord, you're going to need the Holy Spirit's power to do it. We need supernatural power to produce this thing. But I want you to know this. The Lord has told us to go small so that we can go big. It's to be a grassroots movement, not we set up a big building with a shiny cross and hope people come to listen to us. We're just going to equip in this meeting people that are on the journey and becoming disciples. We want character. We want power of the Spirit, all the signs and wonders. We want good fruit, good Bible, all in people. And they've got to be trained. Listen to this last phrase. This is what I want to tell you. The key here is we don't want to just teach people Jesus' commands. What's the commission say? Teach them to obey the commands. That's a more needing anointing process, if you will, okay? We've got to teach people how to obey. And we can do this. We can do this new life. If you'll come with us, if you'll be part of the process, I tell you, we can do this. And it'll be a disciple-making movement that'll come with power, and we will do evangelism, and evangelism all of a sudden will become easy. We'll begin to have dialogue, and from the beginning of someone being born again, we don't set them in meetings and make them like we've been. We get them doing ministry immediately. We take them with us, and we do ministry. I'm learning, you're learning, and here we go. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would inspire new life to be disciples, to say fully yes to you, Jesus. I pray that you would inspire new life to make disciples. I pray that you teach us how to do it, and we would, I love the impact. Thank you, Lord, that we've made so much impact. Been able to inspire so many people. We've blessed some. But Lord, I pray you teach us. Teach us how to make disciples that make disciples. Lord, I pray for your help in this. I know there's a joy. There's a joy in the ministry. And I pray that no one be intimidated this morning, that everyone be inspired, and that we sense the calling, the development of the power of the Holy Spirit, to start a grassroots movement. Jesus, you're the King. All authority in heaven and earth is yours. And you've told us what to do. And I pray that we could fully say yes, and we would fully go and make what you've told us to make. Lord, we praise you for this meeting. Praise you for Sundays. Fill this place up with disciples that want further equipping. But Lord, I pray for Sunday afternoon, evening, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Fill those days, we pray, with ministry and disciple making. And may we truly be and spread the people that you desire for us to be and spread. Lord, we love you. Challenge us about relationship. Forgive us for living just weak relationships. Let us go deep with one another, deep, deep. Show us how to do it. Show us how to go deep. Deep, deep with you, deep with one another, literally making what you make. And we pray for a revolution in El Dorado, Butler County, Sedgwick County, the nations. Thank you for testimonies in Asia where they're making disciples over there, and there's a million in 10 years. There's one guy in Uganda, 25,000 in a year and a half, just by disciple making. Lord, we pray that you would call us and train us. I thank you for this leadership meeting here this morning. We pray for any that are hurting here today, that are broken. We pray that they receive your ministry, that they receive healing. I pray for the lost. If there's any lost here today, may the gospel penetrate their hearts. May they come into the kingdom of God and be born again through the atonement of Jesus Christ. But Lord, I pray you would rapidly start where most of us are. Believers who have more information than we'll ever need for the rest of our life, help us activate. Help us move out and begin to spread intentionally. We love you, we honor you, and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.